This is Keeping It Real with Nairi, Fiona, and Greg. This is the second of two in a row. And this is where things get a little squirrely. Greg, it's got big words, your beer.
It's got big words. Okay. This one is called the Black Lager.
Oh, yeah. It's black, all right.
Swatz beer.
That's probably beer. German.
German. From Silversmith.
Silversmith.
Silversmith Brewing Company. I forgot the L in there. Silversmith. Freaking say
in,
it fast enough.
Fort Erie?
Yeah, Fort Erie. It's dark and crisp. It pours an opaque, dark brown color with a creamy tan head. Balanced
flavors. Was the opaque the only big word on that?
I'm getting to the other big words. Okay, like, come on, give me. With a creamy tan head, balanced flavors of toasted malt, caramel, chocolate, and coffee. Medium bodied on the palate with a crisp and clean finish. You know how hard that's.
So opaque was the big word.
Opaque was the big word. I had to think about that one for a second, especially after I've had freaking bourbon, a couple of beers, and then freaking reading that.
Oh, boy.
And I had to take my glasses off to read it, too, because I'm old.
Yes, you are.
What do you got?
Fiona and I are in Italy now with the...
Bueno.
Yep. It's bueno.
Bueno. Bueno.
Ooh. San Marzano. Primitivo. Puglia. Oh, geez.
Oh, yeah, you got a big word.
I know it's not because it's Italian.
Weird word.
Anyways, known for its coastal beauty and its centuries-old tradition of making wine from the Primitivo grape. There you go. It's old grapes. Great. Primitive grapes. Old grapes.
I know Italian.
Really?
I think we need to go there.
I think we could eat and drink our way through that country.
We need to do a podcast in Italy.
Somebody want to pay for that?
Imagine that.
Oh, wouldn't that be sweet?
Who could we get to sponsor that?
Yeah. And I'm not... Right that bottle?
Yeah. That guy.
That guy.
That guy.
Whoever it is from the San Marzano winery in Italy.
We'll go to your winery listening. And we'll do a podcast. If you're listening.
I don't know. We got followers in Germany.
We should look into Germany because we've got followers in Germany.
Yeah. They make
some
nice
wines. That
was
our most followers in Germany. Like, what the hell?
Yep.
And Burlington.
They make beer.
And Columbia.
Well, Columbia makes something else.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Sorry.
Okay.
Oh, boy. We haven't even started discussing what we're...
Oh, Gregory.
Breathe.
Okay. So, deep breath. So, how long does it take for... This is a listener question, namely that guy over there.
Yeah. Producer
Chris, how long does it take for proper CrossFit technique to become second nature?
It takes a while. Like, definitely. Like, well, think about when we started. I know we started pretty much in 2008 when I started doing CrossFit.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time, most of my workouts were CrossFit, and it probably took me two and a half years to become proficient with a lot of the movements.
And that's with you with an athletic background, with the martial arts.
As a professional athlete and everything, doing that way, like a lot of training behind me. So I would think the normal, you know, an average person with not a lot of athletic background, it would probably take a little longer than that, probably 3-4 years. So I know a lot of people get discouraged when they start because they can't get the movements up right off the bat, but they shouldn't, because it is. It's especially when you're learning. If you were learning, like when I have CrossFit kids, the kids can pick it up, right? They can just map that movement right out, and it's good to go. But
they don't have the inhibitions that adults.
No, there's no fear.
There's no fear, right? Yeah. So they'll just pick it up and go. But you figure we're starting like in our 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, as an average middle-aged person, you know, it's going to take a little bit longer to map those techniques out, you know? So, yeah, you're going to have to take a little longer to do that. Like, I mean, I don't know what your opinion is.
Well, I think it's like anything in fitness. The answer is that depends.
Yes.
And it depends on, say, if you had a childhood background of any kind of sport, whether it's hockey or gymnastics or martial arts or whatever, if you've had that where you physically used your body
awareness.
Yeah, it's that body awareness. And even if the last time you played some sort of sport was 20 years ago, but you maintained some sort of like
your body
physical activity, then your body remembers.
Yeah.
And people discount that whole idea of muscle memory and say, well, oh, did you do this? Oh, yeah, but I was a kid. Like, yeah, but your body still remembers. Like, it's got the muscle memory lasts a long time. And so they'll have that better sense of awareness. But that's not to say that somebody new who's never done anything can't learn. Can't like, you're not going to be like CrossFit Games.
No, but there are some outliers that I've seen that somebody that's never done anything before that picks it up really, really quick. I mean, how long did it take you, Fiona, to...
Jeez, I don't know. I was thinking, because you're talking from a coaching perspective. Yeah. So I don't know if, like, say, an average athlete at the gym would know, yeah, I'm good at this. Like, I don't know where I would have
thought. And definitely there's going to be different movements that you're better at.
Yeah.
Right?
Because I don't know if I would know specifically when I started feeling like, oh, I got this. Like, because there's still tons of movements I can't do. But that's because I have some limitations, right. I guess. But
yeah, for sure.
I don't know.
I think when you start like, forgetting about your...
Think about the clean.
Yeah.
The clean, right?
Like you don't have to talk yourself through each part of the movement.
I feel confident that I'm able to do it. But yeah, maybe within the last 5 years, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've been at it for, what, 12?
Yeah. Yeah.
So 7 years.
To really become proficient at it.
But knowing I'm comfortable in the weights, you know? Yeah. So we have a note, and I was going to bring that up, but are females more flexible than males in CrossFit routines?
Well, so it's kind of this will be a bit of a tangent, but female women are more flexible than men generally. Mm-hmm. And it comes down to muscle mass, bone density, body composition, and like things like estrogen. So, for women, like there's, estrogen receptors in your tendons and in your muscles, mm-hmm. and that's what makes women more flexible than men. So it's you'll genetic. Notice
it like in shoulder movements and hip movements.
Yeah.
Hip movements you'll notice a lot. Like
So women have an increased flexibility over men. So, and then there's also muscle mass. So men have more muscle. So therefore their bodies are a little bit denser. Their bones are denser. So they tend to have less flexibility than women.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then there's also, our women have a lower center of gravity.
Center of gravity, yes.
So that makes hip flexibility. Like, for example, the overhead squat. Mm-hmm. And I think this is always a prime example. I do have guys who can do it. It's
taken me years to do overhead squats.
Or I can pick it up. And like most women pick it up pretty quickly, but guys really struggle because they don't have the hip flexibility. They don't have the shoulder or the elbow flexibility.
Elbow flexibility.
Now, they were talking, too, is part of this is because of the makeup of their connective tissue. Where... Is that the muscle mass like you're talking
about? So women have more, the tendons and the ligaments, there's more estrogen receptors in that, in those muscle fibers. So those
more
tissues,
stretchy.
More stretchy. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I guess that's for lack of a better word, like birthing, right?
Because women give birth
and they're expected to be a little more flexible that way. So,
and this is where pregnant women have to be careful working out too, because their bodies are preparing for that.
It could,
They tend to be very flexible during pregnancy.
Over flexible. Can be some over flexibility issues.
Which is why one of our members who's pregnant, I'm like, how are you feeling? How are you doing? Like, you know, so I'm always very extra careful with her because she doesn't realize that she's a little bit more flexible as the pregnancy continues, but especially as she gets towards the end. Mm-hmm. Although she did have a deadlift PR, so she's doing fine.
Yeah.
But no, and there's so the lower center of gravity, the sort of the natural flexibility just thanks to hormones makes women more flexible. But at the same time, they also don't have the same muscle mass as men. So there's advantages and disadvantages. And women typically gravitate towards Pilates or dance or yoga.
They stay away from the strength element of it.
Not that, I mean, I would argue that all our strong women, like look how Nicole's flexible. She's super strong. Yeah, she also has that gymnastics background. So, yes. I mean,
again, we go back to that athletic background that, you know.
So she picks up CrossFit movements pretty quickly and they become second nature faster because she's had that athletic background.
I think that's a thing, right, where somebody that's very athletic through their life tends to know their body and knows how their body reacts to certain movements, and it's easier to learn that movement, that pattern, right? Mm-hmm. Especially somebody like gymnastics, martial arts, things like that, where the body's moving, where you're really good at moving your body through space. That's where I think makes a difference with things like that. Like where you take somebody like say a sprinter or something like that, might be a little harder to pick up that Olympic movement.
No, I don't. I think it's hard to say. I don't know. Okay, I think here's a good example. Our favorite senior in the gym, Lorraine. She never took any sort of formal fitness kind of. And like she's always been active. She's always gone to exercise and she's classes. Yeah. She's super flexible and she's 78 years old. Yeah. And she does pick up movements really well. Yeah. So it's got, like she didn't really weightlift until she joined our gym.
It's funny when I have people on on-ramp, because I do a lot of the on-ramps, and I ask people what they've done before, and there's been a lot of people that haven't done anything before.
But they just happen to have that natural genetic sort of movement, which is kind of
makes you think, okay, and they haven't picked up any bad habits really from other things. So that's a good thing too. So, I mean, that makes a difference.
So would you say okay, I wasn't super athletic in school, like in school and phys ed, I would do stuff. But if it was my choice when we played soccer, I was defense because I didn't like running.
Didn't want to run. Yeah.
Yeah. But I did do dance from maybe from the age of 5 to 14.
That's a huge thing.
So there's a huge thing. So you're used to moving your body through space through that time, and your body movement, right? Like around. So
and you I had think that movement a at a critical time in your development.
Yes.
From 4 to 14, because we stopped growing, especially women, around 16. So that critical time when you were growing and developing, you were moving and using your body. And so even though you weren't athletic, say from athletic in the sense of like doing a sport, I feel like the term athletic is kind of misleading, because it's not like, it's how you use your body. Yes. Like, I mean, you could be a walker, you could be a runner. Like,
so maybe that helps with my flexibility.
But I think it's more of a dynamic movement. Like dance and martial arts and gymnastics is more dynamic. So
all sports are dynamic.
Like, you're used to spinning. You're used to like throwing your arms over it. Like maybe getting inverted a little bit too.
We've also had a local cyclist who came in. I think we did I don't know why I was in the gym. Maybe we had to bring a friend day. He couldn't squat.
No, well, yeah, definitely. Because
he's a specialist.
Because he specializes in cycling.
Athleticism doesn't necessarily translate into good CrossFit movement. It maybe makes it easier for me to coach it.
But
it goes down to how much are you willing to practice those movements.
Yeah. And that's, again, like you take a dancer. A dancer squats. A dancer jumps. A dancer spins. A dancer, throws.
Yeah.
Too, right? So there we have that. Where same with a martial artist, we'll squat, we'll jump,
and
we'll
same move, with gymnasts, we'll
spin, and same with gymnasts. So I think those are athletic sports
that really translate to so many other things.
So many other things in CrossFit.
But I guess they also know when to pause and hold.
Chris says, "How about pole dancers? You know what?
Oh, geez,
it's really good, because you think about how athletic pole dancers are, and I mean they're great to watch.
They got because core strength.
And they have the core strength.
Hold themselves up upside down.
Flexibility.
Oh my
goodness. Like right through there. And
he went there, eh?
I have no problem with pole dancers.
I was thinking more of the explosive movements. Yeah. Like when you're dancing and when you you also know, like when being in ballet, you have certain points where you're knowing to keep yourself.
He's thinking of a different kind of ballet.
Yeah.
He went there.
I like the ballet.
Oh god. Trying to be serious here.
Yeah, there's no serious. This is the least serious fitness podcast on any sort of platform anywhere.
That's why people like it.
I think so. Because we've had a little too much alcohol and Chris is sending over notes about pole dancing. You know, a lot also he's laughing.
I wish we had a pole dancer at the gym.
Yeah.
Jeez. We can do whatever we want. Vic does not care.
I know.
Pay the rent on time. He doesn't care.
I don't think anybody wants to see me dance around the pole.
Nobody
I can do it. I can do it. I got the core strength. I got the swing. I can swing around that sucker.
You can swing, eh?
I can swing around that pole. I can do it. We'll do a video.
No, you will not.
We'll do a video.
We know a guy.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. There better be a lot of freaking alcohol.
I'm going to be on America's Got Talent.
He's got those new lapel mics.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. I can swing around there. I can be talking to myself. Son of a bitch. But just give her.
Wow.
Just give her.
Well, you've got the silks now. So you could do pink and
I don't know if I could do that.
Well, no, you got a rope.
I'm not afraid of heights, so it's good. Yeah.
Jeez. Okay. Anyways, I had one more serious point half-assed.
I'd like to hear it.
Well, thank you.
Sorry, I derailed it for a second.
You always derail it.
Chris he had help.
Yeah. He's got an enabler over there.
I'm focused. Let me breathe.
Okay, stop.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so to make CrossFit movements feel second nature, you also need to practice movements you're not good at. So you can go on YouTube and find every sort of mobility drill or flexibility exercise for whatever it is you need to work on, whether it's getting into that bottom of that squat or getting that front rack for the cleans and front squats.
A good book to look at is The Supple Leopard by Kelly Starrett.
Yes.
Who's really great at getting you into those.
And Teresa is our, she knows a lot of mobility. So if you need mobility, talk to her or book her for a personal training session.
For sure.
There's an idea. She does so much. And actually, Nicole's really good at that kind of stuff too. So between the two of them, if you've got an issue, they will, you know, they will help you out. But you can go on YouTube and like, how do I improve my front rack for the clean? And you can find so many tutorials.
But you got to put the time into it, right? Like I have to put the time into my overhead stuff because of my shoulders, right? Mm-hmm. I've had that shoulder injury, and you know, you got to work back at getting that in and putting the time into doing it. Like the overhead squat is hard. Like, you know, you go from, I went from my snatch at being 135 pounds down to like almost nothing back to the dowel to work back up to that point. Mm-hmm. But if you want to get to that point, you need to put in the work to get there. It's not something you just pick up a bar and go, oh, here, I'm going to do an overhead squat.
Mm-hmm. No. And a lot of it is really just the mundane sort of, you know, you're practicing just the range of motion or just the stretching and the flexibility to make that movement happen when you get into the gym. So a lot of the stuff you can do at home. You can, it's amazing what you can do.
All you need is a dowel. You need a broomstick.
You need a dowel and maybe a lacrosse ball to kind of massage parts of your, you know, but you have to be willing to put the time in, and that's part of the problem too.
So it's like, going
to
hurt.
It's going to be, it might feel uncomfortable for a long time, like weeks, months, years, but eventually you stop thinking about, I think that's the point, is you start stop thinking about what you need to do to make that movement happen. You just
when we first started doing CrossFit and I first started doing snatches, how many times did I fail at, snatches, like before I got that weight up to, almost my body weight doing a snatch, you know?
Yeah. Well, I remember when we did our level two and that one coach said, how long have you been what was your athletic background? I said, I didn't really have any. I did gymnastics until I was 13, 14. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I'm, you know, I was 45 when I was doing level two.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I don't have an athletic background. I've just been doing this for so long. So yeah, it's filled that gap for me. Yeah. So, you know, like, I mean, I could do a muscle up if I, again, put the time in, but it's like, eh.
And part of it's also ego.
Well, I don't have any. Exactly.
When you don't
need to.
Yeah.
But I like, you know, as long as you're proficient in the basics, if you can squat well and if you can do an overhead press well, and I mean, the other stuff we can work
those
on.
Those are the things, that squat, deadlift, overhead press. Those
yeah,
the,
and if you can get the wrist and shoulder flexibility to get a reasonably decent front rack position for the front squat and the cleans, then.
Elbows are up instead of down. You know, that's the thing. Yeah. And it comes down to that flexibility.
And just learning how the more you learn about how your body functions, the better you can take the cues that we give you and use them to make your movement better. So
all at the end, basically, it comes down to how much time you're willing to put into to making yourself
better. And don't get frustrated if it takes a long time. Like we're all beginners.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, every day you're getting better every day.
Yeah, like just showing you in the gym.
Podcast, everybody has those strengths.
You have those strengths and weaknesses. Everybody has a goat.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody has a goat that's the worst thing that you can work on, but you need to work on that. So when we post up on the whiteboard, work on your weaknesses, don't pick one that you're good at.
Pick one that you suck at. Because you won't get better unless you
won't be better unless you do it. And then that workout comes up with that one of your goats in it. You're gonna, oh my God. Or you cherry pick it and you don't do it. Mm-hmm. Right,
or you do it because you suck at it, and you know it's the only way you're gonna get better.
The only way you're gonna get better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Are we good now?
I think so.
Okay.
So can't say much more.
No. Nope.
Well, I didn't really get to talk about pole dancers, but I mean,
that's okay. That'll be another one.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sure it'll come
on the video.
No, you will not. Yeah. There you go. Greg wants to do pole dancing. Yep, Greg is
aware of a banana hammock.
Oh, nobody wants to see that.
I can think of was Borat.
Or President Jam and his Daisy Dukes
Borat suit on. Yep.
You can't unsee that.
It's too cold for that today.
It's too cold for that.
I could wear a freaking thong.
Ooh. You do that.
Bingo.
Okay, on that note, we are out. Greg Nyree and Thong Boy.
Mic drop.